Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Verse 5, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. What's that sound like? It sounds like a blurt, doesn't it? Increase our faith. Sounds like it's responding to something. Why did the apostles say, increase our faith? And then after that, what is faith? You hear the first part of the gospel? Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. What's that look like? 7 times in the day, and about the 3rd time you're suspecting that this isn't by accident. I remember an old joke about a cowboy that goes to the doctor, and he's got a broken leg, and the doctor says, when did the accident happen? And he says, weren't no accident. How'd your leg get broken? My mule kicked me. Well, that's an accident, is it? Nope. He did it a purpose. Okay. When he did it a purpose, and you forgave him, and so, oh, he's going to forgive me. Okay, I got permission to do it again. And he does it again, the 4th time, and you forgive him. The 5th time, you forgive him. About the 5th time, then he's saying, what, you're forgiving me? You think you're better than me? And then he gets nasty about it, and you forgive him. And it gets harder and harder. Harder and harder. And it weighs on the soul. And you ask, is this part of my faith that I have to do this? Yeah. Lord, increase our faith. See where that comes from? When the faith says, this is what you do. It's not easy. Lord, this is not easy. Yeah. Increase our faith. What's faith? You know, believing the words and promises of God. Faith is to believe the words and promises of God. We say this over and over again. It's from Martin Luther. It is absolutely bullseye on target. It is to believe the words and promises of God. It is not to look inside yourself and see, how strong is my faith today? How solid am I in my believing in Jesus? You don't look inside yourself for that, because if you look inside yourself, you find yourself in your soul going up and down and wobbly and all over the places, and sometimes it's easy and sometimes you're a mess. So faith is to believe the words and promises of God. Look away from yourself. Ask about the words and promises of God. My brother sinned against me again. How's my faith? No. My brother sinned against me again. Are the words and promises of God still there? That's a whole different question, and it's whole lot better of a question. Lord, I'm doubting today. No. Are the words and promises of God still there? And that's why we say faith is to believe the words and promises of God. And with that definition, then you go on in the reading. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed. What? Head scratcher. You could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would... What's the purpose of that? Why would anybody plant a mulberry tree in the seed in the sea, and would it actually obey? What is this? It looks like some wild illustration that is completely disconnected from reality. On the surface, it does. What's the definition of faith? So, believing the words and promises of God. The Word of God. The words and promises of God. Somebody said, and this was through the field of apologetics defending the Christian faith, there are two books of the testimony of God to the universe. The one is written on pages with ink, and that's the Bible. The other is written in the creation itself. The Word of God is written in the creation itself? What? And that becomes a head-scratcher until you go, thank you, scientists, for unraveling this. They have letters for it. They call it DNA. Oh. They say, this is a language, it's a code, and those who are Christians will say it is a code written by the Creator, and it is written in every cell of every living thing in the entire world. So why exactly is it that a mustard seed turns into a mustard bush? Because God spoke it that way. He wrote it in its very cell. Right. Okay. That's why the mustard seed doesn't grow up to be a peach tree. That's not written into it. Oh. And if faith is to believe the words and promises of God, well, the mustard seed, when it grows into a mustard plant, is simply following the Word of God written into it. Okay, that's simple. And this, the same thing applies throughout the creation. Why does the sun shine? Because God spoke it that way. Why does the moon orbit? God spoke it that way. Why do the planets run in their courses? Because God spoke them that way, and on and on and on. Let's make the questions a little bit sillier, okay? Does the mustard seed doubt or question God? No. And no mustard seed ever stood up and said, I don't want to be a mustard seed. I think I want to be a strawberry. I told you the questions were silly. But the Word of God written into it, it does. Does God thank the mustard seed? The end of the gospel lesson. Does God thank the mustard seed for being a mustard seed that grows into a mustard plant? No. Does God thank the sun for shining, the planets for running their course? Thank you, sun. No, he doesn't. That's... shift this just a little bit. Did you ever go out into your garden and thank the cucumber vine for bearing cucumbers? I didn't think so. You know of any farmer that walks the cornfield so that he can stop at each corn stalk and thank it for being a corn stalk? I told you the questions were silly. But it illustrates this whole thing that if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, It simply takes the Word of God, and that's all. That's all that's necessary, and it does what it is given to do. And now, human beings, in our creation, we are given something of the Word of God also. And it's not just spoken into ourselves. It is spoken into our souls. And that makes us different and distinct. And what God says to us as He creates us, back in Genesis chapter 1, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Does that include mulberry trees? And if Adam and Eve had not wandered off from their original created purpose, could they have commanded a mulberry tree be uprooted and planted in the sea? So far-reaching and so powerful is the Word of God as He gives it. But see, the Word of God given to us was more important than what He spoke into the mulberry tree or the mustard seed or anything else. The Word of God spoken to us was words of life and fellowship with God and knowing Him and living for all eternity in that relationship with God. Incredibly and terribly important. He called us being made in His likeness and after His image. Now I have the unpleasant question to ask. So the mulberry or the mustard seed never questioned and never said it wanted to be something else. Did Adam and Eve, Adam created from the dust of the earth, Eve created from the rib of Adam, did they ever question that Word of God? Did they ever stand up and say, "I want to be something else than what God has created me to be"? And they reached out and they took the fruit and they ate. Began the whole sad journey under the curse. But there's more. Once they had turned away from the Word of God, did God leave them without His Word? No. And He spoke and He said, "The seed of the woman, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the devil." He'll be wounded in that battle. He gave them the word about Jesus Christ and He put it into their soul so that Adam and Eve could have the Word of God once again in their soul and hold to that Word of God for their whole life after that. And their children after them, and their grandchildren after them, and on down through the Old Testament until it comes to the New Testament, and God sends His Son, His Word in the flesh, into the world to bring the Word of God to us and plant that Word of God in our souls. And He does so. We'll get to that in just a moment. And Jesus comes into the world, and here's a riddle and a paradox. The one who has spoken the Word of God then takes His place under the Word of God to hear the Word of God and hold to the Word of God because He came to be one of us. It's that same old riddle. When you come to church on Sunday morning, is Jesus the one that you worship, or is He the one who leads our worship? The answer is yes. He is God, He is man. He is one of us. And so, holding to the Word of God, out in the wilderness, 40 days, being tempted, fasting, in prayer, and after those 40 days being tempted, the devil comes after him again. If you're the Son of God, see this mighty Word of God thing? If you are the Son of God, you can command these stones to become bread. Well, yes, that's true. Does he take his place up there? No. He says, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Holds to that Word of God. He is the one who knows the walk of faith. He knows what it is like to hold to the Word of God no matter what. Letter to the Hebrews. Setting our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And Jesus carries that Word of God for us. And he plants that Word of God in your souls. You want to hear that Word of God being planted in your soul? Words from Jesus. You tell me where it came from. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. From the cross. And he plants it in our souls. Again from the cross. It is finished. And he plants it in our souls. And to his disciples, because I live, you will live. And he plants that in their souls. And from the end of the Gospel of Matthew, behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And he plants that in our souls. And Pastor, how do you know that he planted it in my soul? Well, let's test it out, okay? Test it out. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Well, see, there you go. The Word of God planted in your soul. And that Word of God is better than any word spoken to the mustard seed. That Word of God gives forgiveness of sins and life. It restores you. It promises eternity and the resurrection. It connects you with God and says, here is an eternal word. And if you have that eternal word in your souls, then you become eternal. And I have one illustration to share with you about all of this that wraps it from the end of the gospel back to the beginning of it. Because I saw it on television. I did. It was down in Texas. It was the brother of a man murdered by a police lady. It was after the sentencing, it was the victim impact statements, where those who suffered because of another's actions get to take their time to berate the one who did it. And this brother of the man murdered took the stand. And he said, I forgive you. And then he said, I want the best for you. And then he said, turn to Jesus. Give yourself to Jesus. And then he said, is this allowed? Can I give her a hug? Whatever you think about the occurrences, the situation, all of the other questions, all of the other issues, here is one thing. In doing that, what was he doing? He was purchasing and winning her through the Word of God, planting that word of God in her soul to redeem her soul from sin and death and hell. He bought her with the love of Jesus. It's stunning to see it happen right in front of you. And believe me, the same word of God that was there in that courtroom, that's what's in your soul. In Jesus' name, amen.